Hey, this is Cap, and thank you for listening to the Cap & Company podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Cap & Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap & Co.
And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Love late night sports, and when it ends in a Chicago postseason victory, even sweeter. Good morning. Hope you stayed up. Watch the Blackhawks dispatch the Edmonton Oilers last night with two late goals. Jonathan Toews looked like he was 23 years old last night. Guy was awesome. Corey Crawford was the star of the game for me. Toews was awesome, too, but Corey was outstanding, made some big saves when it was 3-2 trailing and kept them in the game. Couple posts almost did the Hawks in. They get two late goals and see ya, Edmonton. And they'll go for the series win, the Hawks, tomorrow, 5:45 puck drop. But last night was a whole lot of fun. I played a three-team parlay of Blackhawks over Cubs under, White Sox under was my six-teamer, and then I had the three teams as a three-teamer. I hit everything except the Sox. Everything. And they lost 1-0, and I watched all of it flipping around, and it was great. But let's enjoy what happened last night, because the Chicago Blackhawks were a heck of a lot of fun.
The first two games of this series, dramatically different feels to both of those games. And because of that, we got an even series, partner.
Here's Mata down low. Now Highmore, checked by Russell. Kane came up with it. Dropped it back, Mata with a long touchdown. He scores!
Go back to that penalty kill, partner, right? Puck's got a big lift off to that. Next thing you know, you got a 1-0 lead.
And now it's tied. Draisaitl, the Hawks unable to control it behind the net. The Oilers go cross crease. Draisaitl with a tap in. And we're tied.
Edmonton changed their top line. They brought out their second line with Draisaitl. The fourth line stayed out for the Blackhawks, and the Oilers tie it up at one.
Slipped it over to Brinkett. He had his hot pass there. Stock front of center. Toews advance and they score. Kubelik might have been the one who finished it. The Hawks cash in on a two-man advantage and take the lead late in the first.
Well, the Hawks were able to settle this puck down. And it goes from DeBrincat to Doc to Kubelik, and it finds Jonathan Toews, and somehow this puck, I think it goes off the right toe of the skate of Jonathan Toews.
Now a Hawks turnover, Draisaitl shoots one. Good block by the man who turned it over. And Highmore now on a shot, they score. Crawford's on, he had it. He fumbled it, and Draisaitl put it in the back of the net. We are tied.
With a dozen left in the period, Draisaitl
centered it. He wanted to yield that. McDavid, he scores! Connor McDavid pulled it off the pad of Corey Crawford. And just as the Hawks did at the end of the first, the Oilers strike on the power play at the end of the second.
Anywhere I roam.
To Cuckoo, and it goes. Bear winds it around. Shea couldn't pick it up. Mata did. Cuckoo's one-timer. He scores!
Might have been tipped in front. Traffic in front of Koskinen and a neat redirect, and the Blackhawks have tied the game late in the third.
Maybe Matthew Highmore. The turnover by the Oilers in their own zone. Back to the point. Carpenter, D to D. The shot from Cuckoo. And see if 36 Red gets a piece of this.
Yes, he does. And the Hawks with a huge goal from their fourth line. Well, how good does that feel for Matthew Highmore's first ever postseason goal? But remember, he coughed one up in the early part of this game that led to an Oiler tally, and he's able to get it back with a neat redirect. Dave's pulled it back. Keith Murphy's long quick attempt. They score! John Matthews seemed to redirect it. A long rinser from Connor Murphy to the back of the net. I think it's the captain who won the draw that got to the goal. The Hawks, with 76 seconds remaining, have the lead. Yamamoto tees it up. Crawford stopped it. He tried to hold it. Keith three. Over to the boards. Neal, a turnaround shot. Missed it out. Hawks win. The Chicago Blackhawks with two late third period goals overcome a deficit and take a 2-1 lead in the series. Wow. Anywhere I roam, where I lay my head is home. Called upon my stone. My body lies, but still I roam. Yeah, yeah.
That was awesome. Chris Black, great work, man. That just encapsulates the evening, the ups, the downs. It was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. They had a little jump in their step. Edmonton might be, was one, maybe one of the stupider teams that I watched, with the dumb penalties, the cheap shot over by the blue line in front of the entrance to the bench. It was just, what are you doing? And then listening to the great Eddie Olczyk when he said in the third, they got the message. They're playing with their legs and not their upper body trying to hit people. And Corey Crawford, hey, man, tip my cap to you. You weren't good the other night. You were sensational at times. Absolutely doing a really good job. Really good. At keeping them in the game, because if it gets to 4-2, you're in a world of hurts. They found a way to ride a goaltender. It was really good. Really good to see. And to be able to sit on my couch like so many of you and watch the Blackhawks play a postseason game, to watch baseball on both sides of town, to see you, Darvish, be locked in, looking great. It was awesome. Have parlays going, have a single bet going. I had a blast with it. I really did. And I don't understand people that are not having fun watching sports as we deal with a pandemic. That was awesome. Danny, did you stay up for the whole hockey game?
Every minute of it. And thankfully, that third period was so exciting. I didn't even get tired. That's great hockey. I really like the way the Blackhawks and the Oilers, the style of hockey it is. It's fast-paced. It's moving. It's not mucking and grinding. It's actually fluid on the ice. I really enjoyed that.
Have to look those terms up?
No.
Those are good hockey terms.
Listen, I've been around Yurko and Carman long enough that I've picked up a few hockey terms. I also thought Corey Crawford played great, but I thought the blue liners, the defensemen, did a great job helping him. Monday, they didn't do so much. On Tuesday, we talked about all those shots on goal where the defensemen needed to get in the way of those and kind of help Corey out a little bit, and I thought they did their jobs yesterday. Here's a stat I saw on Twitter last night that got me excited. This is from NHL Stats. The Game 3 winner after a split in Games 1 and 2 in a three-game series are 21-7, which is a .750 winning percentage in Game 4. This series is over, Blackhawk fans.
See, the one difference is, like, last night, they were saying on the broadcast the Hawks got to use Edmonton's dressing room.
That's, you know what, that giving the Hawks the home ice, I understand that.
They get the last change. That's
yes,
fine.
And that's great. The last change is something important. It's meaningful in the game. Giving the Blackhawks Edmonton's locker room, what does that really do except give the equipment managers more work? Like, I'm sure, just leave the Hawks gear where it is, leave the Oilers gear where it is, and let them play hockey. It was cool having Chelsea Dagger. It was cool having Jim Corneliuson sing the national anthem. All that stuff was great. You still don't have the home crowd cheering you on and firing you up, and that's really what home court advantage means. The locker room, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's like
the red jerseys, that's great.
Last change, I get it, all of it. We'll ask Edzo how important some of that stuff is. I mean, He's a U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer. We'll get his thoughts. But I really enjoyed watching that game because going to the third period, and I watched Pat Boyle, Stevie Conroy, and Jamal Mayers, and talking about how they had, I think it was Jammer who said, you cannot keep squandering opportunities on the power play. And I think to that point, and then maybe Pat Foley said it as well, there were seven total shots on whatever number of power plays they had had at that point, and they just couldn't get anything done. And all of a sudden, two late goals. Jonathan Toews, I thought his ability to hang on to the puck, it was Marian Hossa-like, strong with the puck, and they find a way to get shots on net. They find a way to redirect a couple pucks, and now they're on the verge of moving on.
The Blackhawks failed to take advantage of four power plays in the second period. That was disappointing. And the amount of times that the Hawks hit the post yesterday, like the Hawks could have won that game in a runaway had they taken advantage of the power plays in the second period and not hit the post as many times as they did. But you know what? If you're an Oilers fan today, it would be interesting to hear Oilers Sports Talk Radio today because, you know, a lot of people when this playoff format came out said the Hawks are just there because they're a big TV market.
Correct.
It's a big TV audience. If I'm an Oilers fan or I'm on the Oilers, I am so mad right now that I'm facing a team with a core of guys that have won three Stanley Cups. I mean, it is clear right now that the Hawks' experience are playing a major factor in this series.
No question about it. No question about it when you've got a two-time Stanley Cup winning goaltender, Toews, Kane, Keith. They got some weapons, man. They're not there yet, but that's a really good win. Jake is in Naperville. He's going to start the party. Hey, Jake, what's up, Sparkles?
Cap, how are you doing?
How you doing, man?
Dude, it's just hard not to get fired up about Chicago sports right now, right?
It's so much fun. The White Sox are good. The Cubs are really good. They got a veteran core. They're 10-2. And then the Blackhawks are on the verge of moving on. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man.
Exactly. And like you said, Toews is playing like he's 23, hair on fire. Wait till Crawford gets locked in. The Cubs are doing their thing. And wait till the Bears, buddy. They're going to do it, too. They're going to win games. Nick or Mitch, Chicago's got this rolling.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope we do get our football back. Have a great day, okay, man?
You too, Cap. Thanks.
See you, kid. 312-332-3776. Do the Hawks really have a chance to make a run in the Cup playoffs? Do you believe that? That if they find a way to get by Edmonton, can they make a run? They're certainly playing better hockey than we saw before the pandemic hit. 312-332-3776. Next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Do win one of the next two games and advance past Edmonton. Do the Blackhawks really have a chance to win the Cup this year? I'm getting some people reaching out saying, I'd rather get Alexis Lafreniere and try and win the draft lottery because they have a 12.5% chance to win the draft lottery.
But that's only going to happen if they lose to the Oilers.
That's correct.
And the odds of this Blackhawks team with this core group that's so experienced losing two games in a row, I think, is slim to none. That's my personal opinion. I think they're going to beat the Oilers.
Think they're going to win tomorrow?
I don't know if they're going to win tomorrow, but I think so. I think they're going to put their teeth right in the Oilers' mouth tomorrow. Listen, this Hawks team's not losing two games in a row.
Put their teeth in the Oilers' mouth?
Their foot. And what did I say? Their teeth in the Oilers' mouth?
Yeah.
I meant foot, right through their teeth.
Kick them right in the teeth.
Yeah, kick them right in the teeth. I don't think this Hawks team loses two games in a row. No shot.
Yeah, I want to hear Edzo's take as he breaks down the game. He'll be with us at 9:35. John's in Rolling Meadows, 312-332-3776. Hey, Johnny, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think if they're going to beat Edmonton, they got to do it tomorrow night. They cannot let Edmonton go to a game five. How will they do once they get into the playoffs? I mean, they're probably going to be seeded towards the bottom. and you're talking Colorado, St. Louis, Las Vegas, Dallas, Colorado right now and Vegas scare me. They're playing good, solid hockey. I think their game, when they meet, could be for the number one seed in the West this year. Corey would have to be just playing outrageous in the net, and they would have to find a way to stay out of the penalty box against those teams, because if not, they will get swept out of there real quick.
Johnny, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Have a great one, Dave.
You too. See ya. Look, Danny, let me just remind you of something. It's one shift, one goal, one period at a time.
All right.
That's it.
All right, Mr. Cliche.
That's it. Don't worry about, oh, God, what if we get Vegas? Oh, my God, if we get to the other side, the Bruins could be there. Oh, my God, what are we going to do if we have to play Dallas or Winnipeg or whoever the hell else is in the West, the Blues? Just one shift at a time.
Cap, I've got some Blackhawk thoughts for you, but our fine folks on Twitch, and you can watch our Twitch feed at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hello, Twitch.
They want to know, are you doing your mail as you take phone calls in there? You were licking envelopes? Is that what you were doing while John was talking?
I actually licked an envelope that was sitting right here next to me. Yes, I licked the envelope.
Okay, all right. They on Twitch, they wanted to know if you were heading to the post office during the next break.
No shot. That's a no shot. I'm not going near any post office.
Are those safe envelopes? I had a friend named George, and he was engaged to a woman named Susan who passed away from licking too many envelopes.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
True story.
Passed away? She passed away?
Yep. She was licking their envelopes for their wedding.
Wow, right. That's ironic.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
You've never heard of that?
I heard that.
You've heard that?
Yeah. Yep.
Danny's
absolutely
told that story?
In fact, I had to console Danny when his friend George lost Susan. Danny and George and Susan were a really tight-knit, friendly group. And
Susan too, huh?
Susan not so much.
Wow. George is his guy.
Susan didn't really like me.
Yeah, I don't. And yeah. Sounds like from Danny's story.
Danny and I were on a conference call, and Danny said, I got to go. George is texting me. It's very important. And then he called me back and said, hey, I need a day off. George lost his fiance from licking so many envelopes for the wedding. She passed.
Huh. So he bounced back, though, right?
He did.
George is fine.
He got a job with the Mets and then the Yankees. Huh. And, yeah. Huh.
You do know a lot of people in sports. So.
Yeah, absolutely. 312-332-3776. Peter is our Greek friend. He's a stud. He lives in Miami. Hey, Peter, what's up, man?
Hi, guys. Good morning. Just one thing to say about the Blackhawks game. I was ecstatic it didn't go to overtime, because when we scored the third goal, the winning goal, it was 1:24 a.m.
Yep.
So it was that was good to me and for me. So, and one more thing, I just want to, you know, you hear on the broadcast, they talk about Connor McDavid a lot and Draisaitl, and they're fast and big and everything. I wouldn't change the heart of these players, the heart of the champions, with nothing.
That team has this winning core, kind of like what the Cubs have going, only the Hawks have been more successful because they have won three Stanley Cups, where the Cubs won the one World Series. But they're similar. They have these, you know, core guys that are now not little kids anymore. They're not 19, 18, 20, 21. So we'll see how it shakes out. I'd love to see him put Edmonton on ice and euthanize them tomorrow. Put them down.
Absolutely.
See ya.
You see them on the ice, and you're just very proud to see them. That's how I feel.
And by the way, today, Peter, I don't know if you're aware of this, Olympiakos and AEK Athens at 1 o'clock today, kid.
No. That's for the Greek Cup. That's August 30th.
It's
with Wolverhampton.
They got Wolverhampton today.
Yes, I need your positive vibes, my man. It's 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a Europa League game.
Yes, today. It resumes play for March. The first game was in Greece. It was 1-1.
Good. Well, I'll definitely be watching it this afternoon, and then be ready for the Greek Cup, because my beautiful wife is Greek, so she gets into all of that. So, hey, man, have a wonderful day.
You too, guys. Take care.
All right, see you. 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776.
Let me ask you this, Cap.
Yes, sir.
Before sports came back, there was some concern about fluky championships. fluky sports, right? Like when everything comes back, the way this is all going to go down with the different bubbles and the different formats and all this stuff, that there was a lot of conversation that we spent talking about, will championships be legitimized? Mm-hmm. I feel like, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, watching the Hawks play the last couple of games and how good they looked in game one, and then the ability to fight back, and these guys are champions. Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of get lost in the sauce that in 17 and 16, they lost in the first round, and in 18 and 19, they missed the playoffs, and they would have missed the playoffs this year if this wasn't a fluky, weird year where we have a qualifying series to then get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for once, the flukiness yep. is like totally working out for the Chicago Blackhawks because they are champions. And this format allows a team of champions to come together and to showcase that they can find a bond and win hockey games with their backs up against a wall. Because think about it, over the course of the last 4 years, this has not been a championship group. It's been some time. And we've seen disappointment.
Correct.
But finally, you see them out hitting a younger team with stars on it. You see goals late in the game by the star, Jonathan Toews. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it is a fluky year. Mm-hmm. And I love that a group that has veterans has kind of come together and found a way to win a game three to then sit on the cusp of making the playoffs. And you ask the question, can they make a run in the cup playoffs? They probably can't win the cup. Probably, right? Like, if we looked at all the probabilities, that's probably the likely answer.
Correct.
But it's damn fun, and I think they could steal a couple series and go on a deep run here.
I think their next series would be against the Avalanche, the Colorado Avalanche, and they are very, very good. Nathan MacKinnon is an amazing, amazing hockey player. He is. We'll ask Eddie about Nathan MacKinnon, because that guy is... like Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, they're really good players.
Yeah.
This guy's really good, too. He is an MVP caliber player, so I don't know how that would work out if the Hawks advance. But they still got to win another hockey game. They found a way to win a game last night when they were trailing. They hit posts, and you're thinking, oh, boy, it's one of those nights where you hit the post and you hit another post. Corey made some big-time saves.
But the comeback, didn't it remind you of the championship years?
Yeah.
The ability to find the goal late and then to go ahead and take the lead and complete it. And then the final play, getting the puck out of there, and they win game three. Like, that was a meaningful win, and it reminded me of the championship years. It's a fluky year, but I love that these guys are bonding together and trying to find a way to win these games. I love it.
Agree. Mike's in Lindenhurst. Don't forget Eddie Olczyk, 935. Hey, Mike, what's up, Sparky?
Good morning, Cappy. How you doing, bud?
All good, kid. How are you?
Doing good, man. Hey, yesterday I tried to get through, and I couldn't get through to tell you what I felt, but, you know, I never thought that the Hawks had a chance tonight because I didn't think our coach, Jeremy, had the experience or the knowledge to make changes to make this team better. So my question to you is, God knows we got rid of the best coach in the world and we've got this rookie coach, kind of rookie-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Is he good? Is he better than we all think that he made the changes to stack the middle of the ice and stop this team from rushing the puck? I mean, they're good.
Look,
Edmonton.
Let's not forget, Edmonton's not great defensively. They're not great in the net. They have elite special teams, elite star power with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Yes, they have some good players. Let's also, though, pump the brakes. The Hawks wouldn't even be, as Chris said, wouldn't even have been in the playoffs if not for the goofy setup around the pandemic. So I'm going to pump the brakes, and the jury's out.
What's your opinion of the coach?
The jury's out. They weren't going to be in the playoffs. The jury's out. And we were told by management, and John McDonough's not there anymore, this is a playoff team. Stan Bowman said, this is a playoff team. Well, they actually aren't. But the pandemic got them in, so let's just pump the brakes. I hope they win tomorrow. I hope they make a run. And sometimes you figure things out, and maybe it, you know, got these bodies feeling. Appreciate your call, Mikey. Got their bodies feeling good, the three-month break, because you got some older players. We'll see. We will see where this goes. But let's pump the brakes on Jeremy Culleton right now. The great the powerful, the awesome U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, and my dear friend, the great Eddie Olczyk. Next.
Cap, cap, cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
So, Chris, I know how blessed I am to get up every day and get to do this for work. Get the car, see that amazing skyline as I'm coming downtown. Get here, get to work with you guys. Talk.
Best skyline in the world.
Best skyline in the world.
Take that.
Take that.
Other cities.
Other cities, exactly. And it's a great one. We ought to do a shirt like that, like the Chicago skyline. Take that, other cities. And then underneath it,
Love hashtag it.
Best skyline in the world. But I come in here and I'm excited to be here every single freaking day. And I know there are people that want to reach through their radio and punch me sometimes. And I'm okay with that. That's fine. Pack a lunch, bring a platoon, let's go. And let's have some fun. I'm walking down the hall and I'm going, and, you know, just kind of bouncing down the hall.
Yeah, yeah.
Off the socially distanced spots where it says, you know, don't walk too close to another teammate.
Right.
Danny's got to call me out. He's like, what's with the, can't you walk down the hallway in silence?
I just asked if you could walk down the hall in silence. I come out of the bathroom. He comes out of the kitchen. I'm walking behind him. And he, and I just said, can't you walk down the hall in silence? And also, on top of the doo-doo-doos, it's always the same tune. At least give me something unique every day.
All right, I'll try and hum the Chelsea Dagger.
See, Edzo knows all about this, so I want to hear his opinion on you doing all over the place.
Edzo is a very happy person because he knows how lucky he is to be born as the great Eddie Olczyk, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and he's just an amazing human being, and I know he's got my back as my friend. Edzo, good morning.
Hello, Capper, Chris, Danny, great to be with you, and hopefully everybody got enough shut-eye last night after that huge comeback by the Hawks, and they're on the verge of eliminating the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow. And just to remind everybody, a 5:45 puck drop on NBC Sports Chicago, 5 o'clock pregame with PB and Stevie Conroy and Jamal Mayers, and then Pat and I will have the call. So it's been an unbelievable run to this point. And look, I think also, too, is, like, for the National Hockey League to be where they are at this stage, and we all know what's going on in the real world, but, you know, being in the bubble or the bubbles, knock on wood, so far so good. Like, it's been pretty damn impressive what they've been able to pull off into this point. They had a plan. They knew where they were. They know where they are and where they're trying to get to. So it's great, and it's been entertaining, and hopefully Blackhawk fans are excited about what they've been checking out here in this best of five series against Edmonton.
So as I watched the game last night, Edzo, and it's so great, and I know it's out of the norm for you and for Pat Foley. I get all of that, but just from a fan perspective, hearing Chelsea Dagger, hearing you and Pat, you would never know that you're not there and that there are 23,000 at the United Center, which makes it so much fun. But you said something. I thought Edmonton played really dumb hockey the first two periods. That dirty hit over by the boards at the after the whistle. And then you said Dave Tippett absolutely got his message across because in the third period, they're playing with, quote me if I, correct me if I'm wrong on what you said, they're playing with their legs, not their upper body. They're skating, and they're trying to be a different team. Why did they then struggle to get that dominating fourth goal?
Well, I think Corey Crawford had something to do with that, but
yep, he was, you know,
I think that they exerted them. So I don't care what team it is. I mean, when you're, you know, it's almost like, I'm trying to think of the analogy. It's almost like in football where your offense goes three and out and your defense just keeps, you know, your defense is on the field, right, for 70% of the plays for the first half. It's no different in hockey. When you have the parade to the penalty box, A, your best players don't get on the ice, and B, the guys that are out there, especially your defensemen,
you know, it takes a lot out of you. And again, I keep going back to, and when we talked the other day, Cap, when you think about the four plus month pause, right? Like, you know, some players are in great condition. Some players are working their way into getting into hockey condition. And I think that you see at times for both teams in this series where sometimes it, you know, looks like a guy just doesn't have it for a long stretch. But when you're taking penalties like that, I mean, really, like I said, just unnecessary, selfish, dumb penalties.
Yep.
It's gonna take its toll somewhere along the line. And I think as that game went on, you know, Edmonton got a little tired. And I think that that's why they bypassed maybe some physical play. And I think they all of a sudden became, well, I don't want to, like, if that was me on the Edmonton Oilers, I would probably sit there looking, I don't even want to get near a Blackhawk player as far as contact-wise, because the last thing I want to do is take a penalty after the coach said, look, we can't take any more penalties. So it's probably a combination. But look, we talked about it from day one, and we talked about it before the series started. Which team is going to be able to defend the best when the game was on the line? And both these teams, it's not their strength, and that's why you've seen nine goals, seven goals in this series. And look, the Hawks had, what, five posts, a power play that, you know, struggled when they had an opportunity to really put the game away. And if you just get a bounce, look, at the post is what it is. It's bad luck. But on a power play, you know, you cash in on a couple of those, you know, you probably win that game comfortably. So I think for the Blackhawks, it's worrying about themselves and just being able to defend a little bit better than Edmonton, because Edmonton is not very good defensively. I mean, they are not. And the Blackhawks, I think at times have had their way with them. And then in game two, you know, Edmonton woke up and was the better team 5-on-5.
I got to ask you about Kirby Dach. He looks like a different player. Like, maybe the pandemic, as awful as it is for everybody, for his physical well-being, his legs mm-hmm. look like they just a little more bounce. I saw the dirty hit where I thought it was dirty, at least, where they almost took his knee out and he was in a lot of pain. And then, boom, his number's called. He's back over the boards. And that guy's a beast, man.
Yeah. I don't think that was a dirty hit there, Cap. I really didn't. It was hip on hip.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby tried to avoid the contact.
Yep.
And when you try to avoid contact, you leave limbs exposed and what have you. Like, I thought it was a clean hit. That was just my opinion. But to Kirby, I think what has happened is, you know, you're right, 4 months to get a little stronger, gain a little confidence. And I think to me what has really brought it all together, kind of the glue, has been his opportunity that he has been given to play on the number one power play unit with Kane, with Taves, you know, with Keith, and with Kubalik. Anytime a young player gets tapped on the shoulder to go out there in key situations, because look, I mean, Kirby Dach's what, 19, and every team he's been on, he's probably been the best player. He's probably gone off for every power play, whether he's playing good hockey or bad hockey. You know, and at the start of this year, before the pandemic, Cap, you know, I mean, he was learning his way, and, you know, he was still trying to figure out what he could do and what he couldn't do. You know, this isn't playing against teenagers anymore. You're playing against the best hockey players in the world. And, you know, he's playing more straight ahead hockey, and now he's on a line with DeBrincat and Kane. So there's a confidence there. But I really believe, just my opinion, is that him getting the opportunity on the first power play unit and being an important part of it, I think it's one of those where, you know, and I can remember when I played, it's just like, you know, you sit there, you go, you know what, I can do this, right? Like, I can play here. I can play here and be a difference. And he's played terrific for the Hawks. He's done what has been asked of him. And it's got to be very exciting because his family is only about, you know, what, 20 minutes outside of Edmonton. Obviously, there's no fans in the building, but it's got to be pretty exciting, I'm sure, him growing up as an Edmonton Oilers fan.
All right, last thing for you, and I know you got to work today. You've got another game that you'll call on NBCSN. You'll be on the Hawk game tomorrow. You're going to be on TV with me today on the last ever Sports Talk Live. So you got a busy, busy day. But as you watched that game last night, Corey was pretty darn good on Saturday, not so much on Monday. What did you think of Corey Crawford last night? Because I thought Corey Crawford would be, for me, the number one star, Jonathan Toews number two.
Yeah.
Look, before I get to Crow, the replays that we showed last night, I thought Connor Murphy got that goal. I thought, you know, he took the 100% shot from the point, and it looked like it went off the stick of Ethan Bear in front of the net.
No
and,
doubt.
You know, I know Johnny was there, but, I mean, that's really irrelevant. I was just checking the stats early this morning, and I saw that they had given it to Johnny. But anyways, because you mentioned Johnny's name, that's why it came to me, Cap. Look, I said it earlier. Crow at 3-2 made a couple of, I mean, even at 2-2, right? Because they scored that late goal in the second period. At 2-2, Crow made a couple of 10 bellers. I mean, some A++ saves from about 8 or 10 feet out.
No doubt.
And gave the Hawks an opportunity to just kind of stabilize or whatever. In the third period, you know, yeah, I mean, a couple of chances, but, you know, it was one of those third periods where it was kind of like a volley game, right? Just get it in, get it out, and not many chances. But look, for a guy that had not seen the ice a lot in 4+ months, and we said it right before, if anybody could do it, and the core guy said it, it's Crow. And to this point, he's been really, really good. And, Cap, it'll come down to, you know, who can keep the puck out of their net and who can defend the most when the pressure is on. And like I said, that's what it's going to come down to tomorrow for that 5:45 local time puck drop.
Edzo, have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you at 1:30, but looking forward to it. And you, and it's so great to hear you and Pat Foley, because you'd never know that you're not sitting there ringside with 23,000 at the United Center.
Well, I appreciate that, Cap. Yeah, he's sitting in a truck at the United Center, and I'm sitting in a studio in Connecticut. We're calling Blackhawk hockey in Edmonton. So hopefully people are enjoying the broadcast, and look forward to the game tomorrow. So I love you, and give Danny and Chris a virtual hug for me, and I'll look forward to talking to you guys soon.
By the way, there's a great picture on Twitter, and I know you're not on Twitter. Great picture of our newsroom at NBC Sports Chicago. You're on the screen, and the picture shows this guy standing there watching you on the screen, and it was your son, Nick. It's an awesome shot.
The young Nick Olchek. All right. He's got our back too, Cap. All right, man. Have a great day. Love you, and I'll look forward to being on your last show, man. It's sad, but I'm proud that and honored that you have me on your last show on STL. So I'll talk to you soon, pal.
You're the best. Love you.
All right. Love you, guys. See you.
All right. There's the great Eddie Olchek. On to baseball. Are the Cubs finally getting the real Yu Darvish? Next. Hey, this hour brought to you by CBDMD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE.
Sports talk while you're on the clock. Cap and Company.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Last night, Yu Darvish took the hill with a variety of pitches. He was really, really good. He got in a little jam early, but he was able to extricate himself because of fastball command. Fastball command is the key to Yu Darvish. It's the key to most pitchers, but for Yu Darvish especially. And so I grabbed this stat. And this was on the ball game. The stat says strikeout to walk ratio since July 1 of 2019. Now, I want you to pay attention, Danny, to these numbers. Justin Verlander, 9.41 strikeouts for every walk. That's pretty damn good, don't you think?
Phenomenal.
Okay. Shane Bieber of the Indians, 8.05. For every walk, 8.05 strikeouts. Garrett Cole, $324 million guy, 7.54. So, Danny, 9, 8, and 7. Those are really good numbers. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay, since July 1 of 2019, Yu Darvish is 17. 17 since he started trusting his fastball more. Like, almost double any guy in Major League Baseball. That's ridiculous fastball command.
That's what we're paying for. That's the Yu Darvish we saw last night, minus the small hiccup, was the Yu Darvish Theo and Jed went out and got.
No question.
He was the guy that we were wondering where he was when he was struggling 2 years ago when he barely played, and where he was early last season. It seems as if the start is the second half of last season, and certainly this season, we are now getting the Yu Darvish we paid for. The Cubs starting rotation is phenomenal.
Now, here's the one thing. Everyone will say, well, who you really played? The Brewers aren't very good. The Reds have talent. They're not playing great. The Pirates aren't very good. And the Royals. I get it.
You can only play who's on the schedule.
Thank you,
Danny. You can't hold that against the Cubs. Now, certainly, you can use that as a point of conversation to say, okay, let's slow our roll. Let's not get overly excited because they're not beating the best teams in baseball. But
correct.
You can't hold that against the Cubs. They're playing the teams on the schedule, and the teams that they should handle with ease, they are. I mean, they're making these Royals games look like they're playing my son's Little League team.
Yep. So everybody knows the rule. The rule is
you find a way to win a baseball game.
And there are going to be days you're going to bludgeon people. You're going to get 10 runs.
Whose rule is that? By the way, who's
my rule?
You've said it every day this week. Wake up and find a way to win a baseball game.
Yeah, actually, I got to give credit. I've kind of taken it to a different level.
Oh, you borrowed it?
An original discussion that I had over a cup of coffee in the Cubs dugout at like 9 a.m. one day with Lou Piniella. I'd like to get him on the show because Lou Piniella said to me, I came in the dugout, he's sitting there, I got a cup of coffee in my hand, Lou's sitting there, and I said, and it was beautiful morning, it's early. I'm like, boy, you're out here early, Skip. He said, yeah, it's a gorgeous day, this is a great way to make a living, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, if you could get your offense in gear, what'd you win yesterday, 2-1? With all that talent, you should be getting more out of your offense. And he looked at me, goes, son, you wake up in the morning, you get yourself to the ballpark, you do your work, and then you try and win. And then it became, you wake up in the morning and just find a way to win a baseball
game. It's not very inspirational there.
You know, it is.
You wake up and you just find a way to win.
Find a way sounds so like, it's like, wake up this morning, find a way to do a radio show. Yeah. Wake up this morning, find a way to, you know.
If I find that lost sock that fell behind the bed while I was doing laundry, I'll find a way back into the laundry pile, I guess.
It's you put your work in and you find a way. It's like coming here.
No, Cap. How about you attack the day? How about that? Carpe diem. How about a little enthusiasm about life?
But as the 162-game grind goes on, there are going to be days you don't feel your best. There are going to be days that you feel better than your best. As his point to me was, you're going to show up, you're going to face a pitcher, you go, we should kill this guy. And for whatever reason, you're struggling. Find a way to win a baseball game. Find a way. So today, Tyler Chatwood against the Royals. The Royals are a major league team. Can you name me the only team in Major League Baseball that has one loss? It's not the Cubs.
The Marlins?
Correct.
Yeah, best team in baseball. Take that, Cap.
Marlins got pitchers that were basically
playoff team right now, right?
Playing independently, and they're like, hey, we had a pandemic, and we lost a bunch of guys. Can you come play?
Playoff team.
Right now, today, they are. It's crazy. Best winning percentage in baseball is the Marlins. So all I'm saying is, when you wake up, you go to the ballpark, you put your work in, and you find a way to win a baseball game.
Sleepy, though, right?
It seems a little sleepy.
I mean, how about attack the day, Cap? How about you act like David Ross is the manager, the enthusiastic manager. He gets everyone ready to go every day. And that's the manager I want to play for.
And you're going to have days where you make a mistake. We all make mistakes. We'll discuss said mistake on the field last night in 2 minutes.